Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, Church of the Soul's Evolution. You know, I love my music, that little piece of music, the intro. It goes way back to 2017 when I first started my show with BBS Radio. I've called it different things over the years. Now it's Church of the Soul's Evolution. It used to be Spirits of the Universe. How about that? You like that one? But that piece of music is what I call the call of the soul, you know, like call of the wild, the call of the soul. If you listen closely, the next time, right in the middle, there's a part of it there that will just make your hair rise in the back of your neck or give you goosebumps. It does me. Because why are we here on earth? Why? To develop ourselves spiritually. We are spirits. In the material world, our spirits. In the material world, the Police came out with that song in 1981. If the Police said back then, and that took a lot of courage to say that back then, which everybody already knew anyway, you know. But it's true. It's true. We are spirits in the material world. And our number one priority, our main directive, just like in Star Trek, you know, these beings have a main directive. Keep this in mind, please. Don't forget it. Is to develop ourselves spiritually. I know we've got our jobs, and we've got money to make, and we've got children to raise, and we've got things to do. But remember, spirituality is the most important thing. And it's above religion, too. Religion is a fine stepping stone to where you need to be spiritually. But don't forget that religion, I don't like saying this because I've got my own show. I'm not really a religious person. I'm more a spiritual person. But religion is a money-making business. And they don't always have your best interest in mind. And all the different religions in the world, right? And each one saying, hey, we're the one that is telling the truth, you know. Don't they? Right? Am I right or am I right? But spirituality, the study of the spirit, the universe, the creator of the universe, the mother and father God, Jesus, the life of Jesus, noble pursuit and study the life of Jesus, the man who did all the miracles. You think that was fantasy? I know the Muslims believe that he was a prophet, but he was more than a prophet. It takes more than a prophet to make all those miracles. And it's just a question of whether or not you believe in if the miracles really did happen, right? And of course they did. They wouldn't make that up all those years ago. They weren't into fantasy back then. All those miracles, amazing miracles, you know, turning water into wine. I mean, that's just a small kind of miracle, but easy when you know how. I won't go into the details. If you listen to my show before in the past, you know I've talked about it. Also, feeding the people in the Sermon on the Mount, changing, I mean, bread and the fish. You know what I mean? Very simple when you have some assistance from up above. You know, in the form of a spaceship hiding out of sight, many thousands of meters above the ground, beam that stuff down. How else could he have done it? Do you have any idea in your head how he could have done it otherwise? No, I know you don't. And raising Lazarus from the dead, do you know how he could have done it? No, you don't. I'll tell you how, because he was getting close to death. And this was all planned out. I mean, this was orchestrated, coordinated beforehand by these extraterrestrials that knew that they had to impress the people back then, have them believe so this thing, this situation could last centuries. And indeed it did. Even now today, we talk about the life of Jesus in many churches around the world, you know. Tomorrow I'll go to church and they'll talk about Jesus and just how great he was. And indeed he was great. And going back to Lazarus, and this is just my theory. I mean, I don't have any proof. It's just something that you have to believe in. It's faith. It's bridging the gap between belief and knowledge. Like I said, it was the plan, the overall plan. Lazarus was going to get sick. And you have to understand, not only in Star Trek, but other movies, these extraterrestrials have what they call beam technology. They can beam things. that can transform matter, and they've got beams, kind of like a tractor beam. They've got the beam down, beam here, Scotty, beam me up, beam me over there, beam me to those coordinates. So they can beam in wherever they want to. When Jesus was resurrected, he beamed into that room. They said the doors were closed. How else could he come in a physical body through the doors? Tell me, come on, I'm listening. I'm just kidding, okay? Thank you for your patience with me. You know I love you. But my point is, a physical body cannot go through a physical door. You have to understand the laws of the universe still apply even in a situation like that. So he was beamed in simply from the spaceship up above. And when he was going to be stoned at various times, that you remember that? Watch the movie The Gospel of John, directed by Philip Seville. That's one of my favorite movies of Jesus. And it was so well done. And it took a few years to make. Great acting. It's my favorite. I've seen it, no kidding, about 100 times. Why? Because I know about Jesus. And every time I watch it, I learn new things. I'm always inspired by it. So going back to what I was saying, there was at least a couple of times when they were trying to stone him, and they looked around, and he's gone. Hello? You just can't disappear like that without being beamed up or beamed away to another location. Don't you understand? Think outside the box. You know that extraterrestrials exist. They're out there. I need look no further than the Travis Walton incident in 1975 in Snowflake, Arizona, in the mountains there, when they came upon a spaceship hovering above the ground. Seven loggers who were just coming back from a day of logging, cutting the forest, clearing the land on a contract. And there it was, floating above the ground, a beautiful, beautiful flying saucer spacecraft. Travis got out of the truck. I probably would have done the same thing myself. Walked over. Unfortunately, you have to understand, when the spaceship is above the ground, it's interacting with the electromagnetic field of the planet. So their propulsion systems are electromagnetic anti-gravity. And so that area between their spaceship and the ground is high voltage electricity. Unfortunately, he stepped in that field as they were watching everything from the inside, seeing what was happening. And they probably were trying to, it happened so quickly that they probably didn't see him coming and weren't expecting it. And even those beings with superior intelligence, extremely intelligent, hello, are you listening out there, ETs? Yeah, maybe it was or listening out there. But these beings, and it describes it in the movie Fire in the Sky, although Hollywood embellished the movie, these beings, though, if you watch the new documentary from 2017, Travis Walton, that's a better description of who these beings actually look like. So like I was saying, back to what I was saying, they were trying to get away, and the spaceship was in the process of leaving when he stepped into the high-voltage electromagnetic field and was zapped and thrown away about 10 feet in the distance. Thrown, you know, and his friends, the loggers, called co-workers, they thought he was dead. So they thought that they were going to get zapped next, so they took off and went down the road, and then Mike Rogers, who was the head of the team, the loggers team, said, we left him there. I can't believe it. We need to go back and get him. So he went back, but he was gone. He was taken aboard the spaceship. Why? Because he had been almost killed by this zapping of electromagnetic energy. So meanwhile, on board the spaceship, they left and they went into outer space, probably orbited around the Earth at some distance from the Earth. And then for the next 5 days, if you know anything about the case, he disappeared for 5 days, and they thought the people of that town, Heber, near Snowflake, Arizona, they thought that he had been killed by the loggers. There was some kind of falling out, conflict, some violence. Travis was killed. They buried the body. That's what everybody thought, right? Meantime, up in outer space, he's aboard a spaceship, and they're trying to bring him back to life, heal him, and his body was zapped by high voltage, and they brought him back to life, resuscitated him. In the meantime, he wakes up, he feels like he's in a hospital room, he looks around, and as his eyes slowly come into focus because they were blurry from, having almost been killed by this high voltage, he says, whoa, wait a second, these aren't doctors at a regular hospital room. These are extraterrestrials about 4 or 5 feet high, and with big heads and big eyes, and they're looking at him. And, beings from another planet, he's like freaking out. He gets up. He's trying to defend himself because he doesn't know what's been going on, He feels like he's in a threatened situation. So he cracks a test tube, which was lying on the table close by, and uses that as a weapon. He thinks they're going to try to kill him. So they leave the room. Meanwhile, short time thereafter, here come these other extraterrestrial beings, which look like blonde hair, blue-eyed, taller, regular human height ETs, and one of them grabs him by the arm, and they take him into another room, and they put him down on the table, and then the rest is, he doesn't remember anything else after that. So it's that rehabilitation. They resuscitated his body, helped him to heal, and then they put him down outside of the town, on the ground, on the side of the road. Next thing he knows, he's waking up, he's looking up at the spaceship as it hovers above him, then takes off, shoots straight up into the air, disappears out of sight, and he walks into town. There's a phone booth back then, 1975, they had phone booths. He calls his sister. They think it's a hoax, and he says, no, it's me, don't hang up. And help me, I'm in need of help. And they get him, they bring him back, and that really begins everything. 5 days later, he appears. In the meantime, after a couple of days, the whole town thinks that the logger team and the lead, Mike Rogers, killed him. They want him to take a lie detector test. At first, they refuse to do it. So they have a town hall meeting, and he hears about it, Mike Rogers, the lead of the team. He goes into the town hall, and they're talking about, we know what happened. We know what really happened. We don't go for that story that they say that ETs was a spaceship, and Travis got zapped, and they took him away, and we don't know where he is. It's been a few days already. We know what happened. They killed him. And Mike Rogers hears that. He says, wait. And this is in the movie. Wait a second. Hold on just a minute here. Me and Travis were best friends. And he points at some of the people that are there. Jane, Mike, Joe, me. We grew up together. Our children go to school together. I miss Travis, too, just like you miss him. But I can't change what happened. I saw what I saw, and we all saw that. And we've been telling you the truth the whole time. And you know what? We'll take your damn lie detector test, and we'll prove it. Now, what we've been telling you is the truth. He says to the sheriff who's up on the stage, you schedule the lie detector test, we're going to take it. And the sheriff nods his head. So they go take the test. They took subsequent tests, and they all passed it. What more evidence do you need? It really did happen. There was a flying saucer, and there were these beings, and we're not alone in the universe, okay? What more evidence do you need? You know what I'm saying? Okay. I'll change the subject now. No disrespect intended, okay? I thought I'd raise my voice for special effect. But you don't need any more evidence than that. Okay? And then there's 1,000 other examples that we're not alone in the universe, but that's a good one, okay? They took all those lie detector tests. You can say what you want about a lie detector test. And you have all these debunkers and people, disinformation specialists, who don't really care about anything except for taking the opposite stance, whatever the situation is. They might be atheists. Do you believe in God? They'll say, no, there is no God. Blah, 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 blah. And they always take the opposite stance. You take the Dallas Cowboys in the football game playing against the New York Jets. you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, they'll automatically take the opposite team. They're those kind of people, but we need them. You know, it helps us to strengthen our faith. Am I right? So I'm going to change subject here, talk about O.J. Simpson. I met O.J. Simpson, ladies and gentlemen. It was in the 70s when I was working at a hotel at the Bellman for 6 years at the Hyatt on Mission Bay. I was standing in the lobby with my cart, and he comes around the corner, and a finer gentleman, nicer guy, you'll never meet. Well, let me rephrase that. You'll never meet a more beautiful human being than O.J. Simpson back then. What happened? I'll tell you what happened, okay? Please don't forget this. And now, I might be a little bit biased because I met him. And keep that in mind, too. That's a good point. Don't come to a conclusion about somebody until you have a chance to look him in the face, ask all the questions that you want, before you decide that maybe he's a wife abuser or, you know, he killed somebody. Ask for yourself. Don't take it secondhand from somebody. But just that little interaction I had with O.J. Simpson taught me that he was a good man, you know? Hold on just a second here. Okay. Something was about to fall off the table. So you have to understand about Nicole Simpson. And she was running with Faye Resnick back then. She was into cocaine. She was taking a lot of cocaine. Right? You can look it up on the internet if you don't believe me. I'm telling you the truth. She was spending a lot of money that O.J. was giving her on cocaine back then. So was Faye Resnick. In fact, Faye Resnick had just put herself into rehabilitation from cocaine addiction just a few days before then. So she was in debt with who? Who do you think? The Colombian cartel. And if you know anything about the Colombian cartel, and you can look through YouTube, you won't find anything because people don't want to know. People can't think outside that box. I'm telling you, if you don't pay your debt, and she was in $50,000 of debt. Did you hear what I said? She owed $50,000. She went to O.J. He didn't give it to her. When you owe the cartel money, my friends, and they're going to come to collect, you don't have the money, guess what? You are toast. Toast. And the Colombian cartel did something what they call the Colombian necktie. This is what happened to Ron Goldman, who showed up on the scene when she was getting into this argument with the hitman, Colombian hitman at that time, who had come to collect. She had left a pair of glasses at the restaurant there, which was the cartel was involved with that restaurant. And there was a fight. They both got their throat slashed and the tongues pulled out of where the throats were slashed. A Colombian necktie, my friends. O.J. showed up because I think she called him on her phone. And maybe or maybe not, maybe he just showed up out of a whim, out of an intuition, whatever, that she was in trouble. Maybe she called him. He said, I'm in trouble, you know. They have come to get me. So he showed up, and I think he got there just after it had happened. And you got to understand about the LAPD back then, too. They were corrupt. They were being paid off by the cartel. Yeah, that's true. Why? Because cartel, running a multi-billion dollar business. And very simply, you know, this cartel, they have an army of hitmen and dealers. They get together with the police and say, look, all we're asking is that you let us do this. People want it. It's supply and demand. It's cocaine. If you don't let us do it, and we're going to give you some money, too. We're going to help. We're going to pay you off. If you look the other way. But if you don't, guess what? When you least expect it, we're going to shoot you. We're going to kill you. And not only that, we'll probably get your family. So what would you do if you were the LAPD, right? Does that make sense? You know, put yourself in their shoes and understand. And so, you know, the trial, the first trial, they acquitted him because he didn't do it. O.J. couldn't have slit the throats of his wife and Ron Goldman. Yes, he did hit her. He admitted to hitting her at other times. But guess what? Nicole Simpson was a pretty feisty woman. Wouldn't be surprised if she beat up on him, too. You know, what else could he do? If someone's beating up on you, what's one way to stop it? You hit back. I don't condone, I don't support beating up a woman at all. Don't get me wrong, you know. I think no man should hit a woman, period. But I can understand why Nicole Simpson, she was a strong, bullheaded kind of female. I can tell, you know. I mean, I never met her, but did you meet her? She knew how to take care of herself and married O.J. Simpson, don't you think? I mean, the greatest football player, one of the greatest football players that ever lived. You don't think she knew how to handle herself in a physical alteration? Well, think again. So I saw a video of a guy, a private investigator, had been investigating the O.J. Simpson situation, you know, the whole fiasco over the years. And he came to the conclusion that there's no way in hell that O.J. Simpson committed those crimes. He knew the man. He'd been studying it for years and was involved with it from the very beginning. And he said, no, O.J. didn't kill his wife. And Ron Goldman, he said he mentioned that at a party. They were at, like, this party. And this one guy wanted to get into a fist fight with him because, why? Because they thought that O.J. was a wife abuser. And some people just like to pick scapegoats, you know. And the LAPD, you know, because of the cartel situation, they blamed O.J. They planted that evidence, you know, the glove, the bloody sock. They took a vial of his blood, and they went back to the scene and put that blood at different places. Yes, that's true. It really did happen. And so I feel a kind of kinship. I did over the years to O.J. Simpson. So you can believe what you want to believe. You still want to believe that he was guilty. You are entitled to your opinion, my friend. But if you heard everything that I said, logically, you now know the real deal, what really happened. Obviously, O.J. isn't here because he passed away. God bless his soul. He was a good man. Too bad, you know, after what happened to him, then that civil trial, Ron Goldman's father, just trying to get money, you know. Yes, I'm sorry that he lost his son. If someone's involved with drugs and the cartel, that's what happens when you get involved with that kind of a thing. And he knew other friends of his got killed by the cartel, okay? So, hey, he was involved with the cartel. The cartel are bad mambajamas, right? Did you know that? You should have known that if you didn't know it, okay? That's what really happened back then. Nicole Simpson was in a cocaine big time, and she had a debt. They came to collect. Those Colombian hitmen are no joke. They kill hundreds of people. That's what they do. That's what they get paid for. And they do that necktie. They slash the throat, pull the tongue out. That's the signature thing of the Colombian cartel hitman. Okay? O.J. wouldn't have done that to his wife. Are you kidding me? I mean, how logical are you? Plus, like I was saying, if he was here, which he's not, if he had been here, you really wanted to find the truth. You kind of gone and talked to him and then satisfied your own curiosity face-to-face instead of talking about him behind his back, you know, forming conclusions without sufficient evidence, not knowing any better. I mean, I say that respectfully, you know. Anyway, ready to move on to a new subject? How about this? Now, don't forget to check with your doctor before what I tell you, okay? Are you looking for a cure, my friends? Looking for a cure from cancer or sleep apnea or heart disease? Whatever the ailment, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this cure? Again, you need to check with your doctor before this, okay? So I don't get in trouble. Maybe you're sitting down at work all day and you're tired. Maybe you're not happy. This is the cure. This is the way to be happy. Work in progress, as we all are, you know. We learn. And guess what, my friends? After what I'm going to tell you here, you're going to see it on television. People because we're all interconnected. We're separate, but we're connected. You get one good idea that's passed on, and that's okay. Maybe I thought of it. Maybe someone else thought about it. I don't know. But here, are you going to forget this if I tell you? The key to happiness in life, to cure all diseases. I'm going to take a drink. Dance. Dance at all times. When you're tired from working, get up and dance. It's a question of balance, my friend. Dancing to some nice music, Paul Van Dyke, electronic music. Write that name down, please. Paul Van Dyke. He is the best trance electro music person out there, in my opinion, at all times of the day. Feeling constipated? Dance. It'll help you breathe better, your circulation. You can do what I do. I call it a run dance, the Blake Ruby run dance. Put the music on, and I'll run in place. I'll run forwards. I'll run backwards. I'll run around, turn around. It's great, and it works, I think. Because for me, I just, even though I've been doing this, I'll tell you the truth, honest, I just realized that today. And it was like a revelation, maybe given by God, even though I've been doing it all these years. My wife goes to Zumba. Do you ever go to Zumba? Now, you have an instructor in the front of the class, right? Whenever I've gone to Zumba before, and I've gone many times, I stand at the back and I do my own thing. I don't follow. I don't want to follow someone up at the front doing what they're doing. I like to do my own thing. I like the music, you know? You start following, you go in their direction, go this way, that way. No, thanks. You can't if you want to. My wife does. But later on, you might feel sore, you know? Someone is directing you to do something, your body to do something. Now, what I would envision as a better way to get your exercise together is like someone gives you and choose to do, keep on doing that move or do another move or pick up on a new move or go back to the old move. Just everyone together dancing, doing their own thing. I knew this one guy used to come and he would do his own thing. He would spin around, jump up and down. That's what I do too. I do kicks, karate kicks, because I'm a black belt in Taekwondo from when I lived in Korea from 87 to 89 when I was in the Army. And so I do my kicks, you know, high kicks and crescent kicks and punches and then go running forwards and backwards and running around in circles. And I love it, but I feel kind of guilty because everyone else is doing what the instructor's doing. The point is, you can do freestyle, Zumba, on your own with your own music. You don't need an instructor, just like you don't need Jesus to get to heaven, because you are a child, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Jesus, teach us how to pray, please, on the Sermon on the Mount, our Father. Hold on just a second, Jesus. Did you say our Father? Yes, I said our Father and Mother, too. Don't forget, as a mother God. Don't place your money on the wrong horse, my friends. When you get to heaven, you find out there is a mother God. Ooh, you're going to be very regretful and remorseful for not having known her when you're on earth. Okay? In one day, hopefully far into the future, right? Every day is a gift, my friends. But on that day when we have our expiration date, unless there's some kind of mistake in the great scheme of things, and we will transition from this existence into the afterlife. The afterlife where the spirit exists. When the spirit pops out of the body, and all of a sudden you realize you're in two places at the same time. Well, there's my body down below there. But, you know, I look a lot more handsome than I realized. Yeah. But, you know, it's just like at that time you realize it was like an old coat that you shed. And you look around and you realize, hey, I'm shining with a light. And that's the light of your soul, my friends. And that is the truth. And you can take that to the bank. You shine with a light. Your soul will shine with a light. And you'll notice that everyone else around shines with a light. But guess what? They shine with different intensities. Why is that, you ask? It all depends on the level of spiritual development that you have achieved while on earth, my friends. How developed your soul is. That's why it behooves you and everybody, including me, to develop ourselves spiritually so that we can increase the lamp, in quotation marks, of our soul. Because when you get in front of the Father God and the Mother God in the throne right next to them, of course, you have to realize that Father God is a man, male, right? And any male wants a female by his side. Even Jesus has a soulmate in heaven. Did you know that? Why wouldn't you want Jesus to have a female friend? Why? Tell me why. You better check your rationale. It might be flawed. No disrespect intended. But Jesus, yes. There are so many women after Jesus in heaven. We won't be able to count all the women that love to be with him, you know. And there is something known as merging of the spirit, which is a form of like what we do here on earth, the reproductive act, if you know what I mean. There in heaven, the merging of the spirit, when you get with a spirit of the opposite sex and you just blend together, you hug and you get into this throe of lovemaking, if you will. And I hear the orgasms last for about 7 minutes. Wouldn't that be incredible? And then there's another thing called the head meld, where they can have that with males, apparently, but not the lower part, anything beneath the body. I learned that from the great late Sylvia Brown, psychic medium who wrote many books, Sylvia Brown. Yes, merging of the spirit. And that's how you create things, too, when you merge male and a female spirit, merge, and then if they have achieved that level of compatibility, you know, where there's a synchronization of thought and words, and you can speak the words, so if you can actually meld into one separate being, a male and female spirit can merge into one. That's how spirit children are created. That's how planets are created. That's how suns are created. When you have that male and female aspect developed sufficiently, I mean, as far as you can develop co-creator gods, in other words, co-creator female god, co-creator male god, merge in the spirit, speak the word, there's an infinite universe out there. You can have your own patch of land, just like you have land here on Earth, where you can have your own solar system. Infinite space, my friend. If you don't believe me, just think of that concept. Think of that concept. Infinite space. What does that mean to you? All the stars out there in the sky, evening sky, they are co-creator God domains out there. People, if you will, I use the word people like you and I, who throughout the millions and millions of years have achieved a level of perfection of their soul where they're ready to take it to the next level and utilize the laws and energies that are inherent, putting those energies in motion and creating. How? With words. Very simply, with words. Like the Bible says, in the beginning was word, right? Ah, good water. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Nothing was created without the word. That's what the word does. Isn't that amazing? So here's a little prayer to the creator of the universe. Creator of the universe, are you out there? Always. I get the answer back, always, always. You're moving, always in motion. These trees, creator, I see in front of me, the sun in the distance, all courtesy of your great, omnipotent, and omniscient self. Creator, I just wanted to say, I love you. You are awesome. And you know, more than that, you are cool. You are so cool. You are like a best friend, father, mother, grandfather, grandmother. You are absolutely lovely and wonderful. I can go on and go on and keep on going, just how great you are, God. So thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you. Thank you for my life. Thank you for another day of life. I just want to celebrate. I got to sing now. I just want to celebrate, put my faith in the people, but the people let me down. So I turned the other way and I carried on anyhow. That's what I'm telling you. I just want to celebrate. Yeah, yeah. Another day of living. Yeah, I just want to celebrate. Another day of living. I just want to celebrate another day of life. Don't let it all get you down, oh no. Don't let it turn you around and around and around and around. So, creative universe. You want to learn about the creative universe? I mean, this is above the mother and father God, you know, co-creator God, which we are all striving to be as we go through that cycle of lives, you know, through that reincarnation process from one planet to another around the universe. Yes, it's true, no matter what you might think, but you're entitled to your opinion. When we die, we'll go to the cloud, and then, unless you have achieved that kind of perfection, that development, then you will decide, pretty much guaranteed, to be reincarnated on another planet, maybe in the Milky Way galaxy, maybe in another galaxy. And then, hopefully, it'll be a planet of a higher evolutionary category, one where you won't have to worry about war and killing. Anybody tired of that? They're out there. There's trillions of planets, to say the least. Trillions. And billions of Earth-like planets out there. I'm telling you. Well, I don't know for sure. That's a good guess, a logical guess. Don't you know how big the universe is? It is absolutely huge. It's incomprehensibly huge. 15, 30 billion light years. 30 billion. A large number, isn't it? The closest star to Earth is 4 light years, it's 4 measly light years away. And the Voyager spacecraft launched in the 70s, and I said this last radio show, going at 40,000 miles an hour. After how long? In the 70s, say 24, about 50 years. Going 40,000 miles an hour to get to Alpha Centauri or Proxima Centauri, 4 light years away. Going at 40,000 miles an hour is going to take another 20,000 years. And that's just 4. I'm talking about 15, 30 billion, 15 diameters, 15. Because the universe is circular, you know. That's a long distance, my friends. And then the edges, the borders of infinite space are constantly expanding. Isn't that something? Infinite, eternity. Two concepts that are basically incomprehensible. So, going back to dancing, changing the subject back to dancing. It's a question of balance, my friends. The Moody Blues said that in one of their albums back in the 60s. A question of balance, and indeed it is. All the ailments of your body, you're not happy. Dance. Besides, you get your steps in, right? Don't you count your steps? I do. How many steps do I have? 6497. And I went this morning and I sprinted 110, 120 meters. 110, 120 meter sprints. I'm talking about going full speed. If I had people that would follow me, I could be an instructor. Get people going, warming up, running in place to music, you know. And then after I had them sufficiently developed, I would say, okay, now follow me. We're going to go do some sprint where you push your body to the limit and then I'll tell you, there's no feeling like it, my friend. You know what it's like. When we were children, we used to sprint everywhere, right? Hey, I'll race you over here, race you over there, until someone finally said one day, stop running, walk. Oh, yeah, that just busted a bubble, you know. That hurt our spirit, you know, because as human beings, we're meant to sprint. It's the best exercise you can do, hands down. It exercises the heart like no other exercise. exercises, I'm not talking about jogging, running, that's okay, but if you're not pushing your body to the limit, then you're not getting your maximum heart rate. You know, you're not achieving maximum heart rate, which is what you want to do. And other exercises like Zumba or skipping rope or walking, those machines, you know, the treadmill, the different machines they've got. I forget the name of the one where your hands, move your hands also, along with your feet, climbing stairs also, you know. Nothing beats sprinting. So if I had 10 people I had to whip into shape, Blake Ruby, the Reverend Blake Ruby, the workout program, I call it the straightaway workout, my friends, the straightaway, because I don't like going in circles, you know. Don't let it turn you around and around and around and around. There's a song I remember by Blue Oyster Cult called The Vigil. We run in circles. Our days are numbered. Every night I look to the sky. And I say, come to us, extraterrestrials. I know we're a violent species, but come to us. We need your help. Come to us. Please, help us. We're a species in need of help. We have the potential to destroy ourselves. Come to us, please. I don't even want to bring that up, you know, isn't that? Don't you feel that? I mean, Prince said it in a song, 1999, Everyone's Got a Bomb. How long has it been since then? You know, that song came out in 1999 by Prince, you know. Everyone's Got a Bomb. His point was, we don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow. And we are so blessed to still be getting along reasonably well together. I mean, we've got that problem in the Middle East, you know, with Israel, and that could escalate out of control at any time. So, my friends, prayer. If you only knew, I'll say that again. If you only knew, I've got to say it one more time. If you only knew, please don't forget this, the power of your prayer, how it can change things. If you only knew and realized that. But you got to be strong and brave enough to pray, my friends, at any time. Are you strong enough? Are you brave enough like I am? Pray whenever you need to. And that's another reason why we're here, developing ourselves spiritually as spirits here on earth, in the material world, is to keep in touch with the powers that be, the higher powers that be. To have that relationship, not only with the creator of the universe, but with our mother and father God, who are separate, right? The creator of the universe started everything. Part of the plan was to develop co-creator gods through that process of reincarnation and the soul's evolution, one level after another, on different planets throughout the universe. That was part of the plan, to where eventually a soul achieved that perfection and can't be God, the creator of the universe, but you could be like God and have your own patch of land, so to speak, your own solar system and your own children. I'm talking about billions of children that you are the mother and father of. Because if you're a mother and father, like I'm a father here, I've got a son. If you're a co-creator God, then you have all these children that you're responsible for. What greater thing is it than to have children? It perpetuates that growth principle that the creator of the universe wanted in the beginning, the growth. It's all about growth. You were a baby at one time, just like I was. Now look where you are. Have you achieved growth or not? Have you achieved growth or not? You were a baby. Just because you can't remember doesn't mean that you weren't a baby at one time. Am I right? You see these babies in people's arms. Oh, what a cute baby. Beautiful. Yes, they are. But you were one also at one time. Don't forget that. Growth. That's what it's all about. That's what the Creator wanted. The Creator, in the beginning, you know, was there in darkness and silence. Just he, she, existing. But who knows, maybe there was another universe, you know, because they say there's multiple universes out there. Isn't that amazing? All I can say is Creator, and let me sing a song for you. You fill up my senses like a night in the forest. You gotta take a drink. What can you want? Why not? Being an accomplished singer, I realize my voice cracks a little bit, and I suppose it's because I need to drink some water. Hopefully that'll last me. Like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain, like a storm in the desert, like a sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses, God, come fill me again. Come let me love you, Creator. Let me give my life to you. Let me drown in your laughter. Yes, I know you laugh. Let me die in your arms. Let me lay down beside you in a good way. Let me always be with you. You fill up my senses. Come fill me again. Anyway, so dance, going back to dancing. Sometimes I get lost. I need help. You know, I lose my way. I do things that I shouldn't do. I try to reconcile myself daily with my loving Creator of the universe, which you should do also. Repent and reconcile yourself daily. Repent. Are you saying your prayers? Back to prayers. You want to stop a war? Say a prayer. You want to help someone who's in need of help and dying? Say a prayer. You see somebody in a car accident? Say a prayer for them. While the car is tumbling down the road, say a prayer. Help them. What if I was to tell you that, if I could think, that your prayers actually do work, that they make things change. And especially when you get a lot of people together, all those people, prayer has so much power, my friends, but it all depends on you. If I was to tell you, this is just an example. Let's say, God, you know, I would like to win the lottery. Please, here's a prayer. Help me win the lottery. Now, God doesn't answer all prayers. I'm talking about Mother and Father God or the Creator of the universe. They don't give you what you want necessarily, but they'll give you what you need. Prayers are answered, usually not selfish prayers, if you know what I mean. And there's a good chance that if you did win the lottery, that your life would become a nightmare because all of a sudden people would be. And that's something I wouldn't mind going through myself because I can always use a little extra money. Who couldn't? But when you do win, then you realize all these people are coming out of the woodwork asking for money. The phone's ringing off the hook. And then when you refuse people money, they hold a grudge against you. And all of a sudden, you've got family members who are your worst enemy because you haven't given them money. So then you have to go and hide somewhere so you can stop being bothered by people. And then all that interaction you could have had before, where you're really learning and developing your spirit, growing the way you intended to grow, is gone. And then you become reclusive. And then, as I've heard other people say before, I wish I had never won that money in the first place. But there are exceptions to that where people do win and make some good choices and know what to do. They invest some money. Some of it, give a lot of money to charity. And then they buy their favorite car, maybe a house or two. And they live the rest of their lives well, and they know how to handle people that come to them asking for money. Some people, they give it to them. Other people, they say, no. Maybe they want to write an agreement in the beginning. Look, I'm going to give you some money to your sister, your brother, or some other relative. Here's this money. Now sign this document that you're not going to ask me for any more. Agreed? Agreed. Okay. This is an idea. Okay, changing the subject. Mr. Trump. I like Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump is funny to me. Always has been. I think he's a cool guy. And you know what? I've dreamed of him. I've been in 3 dreams of Mr. Trump. I counted him, 3 dreams. He's like a brother to me. And when he was president, we had gas. Gas was cheap, right? $1.45, $2 around that. The economy was doing pretty good, right, back then. And then the first 2 years, no problem. We had the Russian collusion. But, you know, politics is a pretty backstabbing, at-your-throat kind of profession, you know. You would think that they would work together, but unfortunately it doesn't happen that way. I think they would, right? Once one administration gets in power, the other administration is at their throat, at their back, going at them. And you've got CNN, which is Democratic, Fox, which is Republican, always slamming each other. I hear it all the time. Always on the cases, always trying, doing their best, but they think their part is to help change the election or influence the election in some way. Now, Mr. Biden is getting old. He's 81. I can see that, you know, right in front of my eyes. Everyone can see it right in front of their eyes. How would you like to be in his shoes? I mean, I'm almost 70 years old, and I can tell I'm slowing down a little bit, you know. When you're 81, though, and you got the most difficult job in the world, isn't that time to retire? I mean, we don't want to die while we're working, you know, work till you die. The ultimate retirement, my friends, is to travel. When you have enough money, and see all these places, just relax, or to be somewhere in the Mexican Riviera, the French Riviera, take a train throughout Europe, go down to South America, go to Australia, take a cruise around the world, just relax, have your favorite beverage, do a lot of laughing and fun, have a lot of fun. That's what retirement is supposed to be. Back in 2020, President Obama himself said it wasn't a good idea, but that was the only way they could win. And when they did, and because they had more mail-in ballots. And I heard today from somebody, I don't know if it's true or not. Excuse me, let me take a drink. But all these illegal aliens that they're letting in, and I emphasize the word illegal because there is a process. And like other countries around the world, when you want to come in, you want to be a citizen, you have to stand in line and go through that process, fill out the paperwork. You can't do it illegally. It's only in the United States where we allow that to happen. And millions of people have been coming across the border illegally. You know that, right? Guess who they're going to vote for? They're going to vote for the Democrats. The Democratic administration who let them come in illegally. That way, my friends, I can say the election was stolen because I hear that they can't vote. That they can. There's a loophole somewhere where illegal aliens coming in can vote. And they're not going to vote for the Republicans who want to put a border on the wall, you know. This is a good idea, really. Not only does it stop the people from coming in, but also stops some of the illegal drug trade, okay, the cartel. So in regard to the election being stolen, you think about the illegals that came in, and maybe all those mail-in ballots that belonged to some illegals. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but you could say that the election was stolen then. And even now today, I mean, in the next election coming up here in November, if any of those illegals who are here illegally, and there's millions of them, right, agreed, if they get a chance to vote, which apparently they can, unless you know otherwise, right, then they're going to vote for Democrats. They're going to vote for Biden. Anyway, so my friends, got 1 minute. I just wanted a quick shout out to the Spurs for beating the Nuggets. The Spurs go for next season. Hooah! Love the Spurs. So my friends, the sun's in my face. It's been a good hour. Thank you for listening. I love you. And may the creator of the universe bless us, everybody, just like Tim said in Charles X's Christmas Carol. May God bless us, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.